All right, we're going live. There we go. Now we're live. So you can hear me, right? Right, perfect. Well, I'm Michael J. Long, and it's 2:58 on April the 14th of 2020. Thank you for joining me. I appreciate it. I got some fabulous news from yesterday. Did you we got a special guest on. His name is Brandon Lyon, and Brandon is the chairman of the Fulton County Libertarian Party and has been in the news recently about the gun rights thing here in Fulton County, and has had some media exposure, so he's very viable in that sense. And so one thing I want to touch base on is Larry Sharp decided to run
So I
for
think
VP.
a lot
Have
of
you
us
heard
heard
about
about
that?
that last night with the Reason magazine article dropping. He's going to be running with Judge Jim Gray, who, for those that have been in the party for a while, remember from 2012 when he was Gary Johnson's vice presidential running. So yeah, definitely heard. And I'm excited about it.
Right. Of course, Jim Gray also ran for vice president in 2012 as Gary Johnson's running mate. So what can we do as libertarians to go out and what can we do to get on board with supporting these guys and also supporting our local state and county governments? And what do you think the future holds
Well, I
for the
think the
party?
first thing that we have to consider is there going to be a convention, and if so, when? I think the first thing we have to do is, if we want to support these two, is actually support them getting our nominations. So that could be sharing stuff online, could be talking with your fellow libertarians, especially those that are delegates to the national convention. Because I believe that the New York Libertarian Party actually just put out their list of delegates today. So any of those people on the list, talk to them, try to get their support, because really that's who's going to make the decision, is the actual delegates to the convention, whether that be a physical convention, if possibly delayed, or an online convention. I mean, it really just depends on how long these restrictions last. That'll actually determine which one that is.
Right. And I know that the party too has often been against in the past having an online convention because of the so-called proxy vote and whatnot. So, for those that are new to the Libertarian Party, the delegates who attend the national conventions are usually the ones that vote for the nominees for the Libertarian Party at the convention. So whatever primaries we have, they don't count because it's the delegates that make that decision, and it's a fair and equal process, unlike the Democratic and Republican parties. And as our guest was pointing out, Brandon, you had mentioned that you had mentioned that we could talking to them, especially fellow libertarians, especially ones being that might be going to the convention as delegates, if there is a, if there is a, even is going to be a national convention for us. We may they, the party may have to do it online, but
Yeah,
would
see,
we be
that's one
risking
thing
a
that really
proxy
has
vote or
to be
not? How would
decided.
that
I mean,
work?
if we do go the online route, how is voting going to be done? Because I'm not saying it's impossible, but it'd be very hard to have a secret ballot when you're doing it online, and have it be 100% secure, because you wouldn't be able to go back and So that's something that, I mean, people with a lot to try to figure that out, you know, what the best voting method would be.
All right. All right, let me see if this is streaming on YouTube for a second, because it should be. I'm just going to check and see. Oh, yeah, we are live. All right. So, because there's a lot of contentious issues with the party between the pro-choice on the abortion matter and the pro-life. Usually, though, the pro-choice crowd usually gains a majority. And I don't know how that's going to work if we do an online convention, how all that's going to play out, if it's going to be a proxy vote, and if so, who's going to be at the convention, if it's going to be secret or only to those who are able to attend the national convention online. How they would go, would it be emailed? Because I know there's some groups, right, that go out there, right, whether, let's say you're an investor and you invested some shares in like bank ABC or bank XYZ or whatever, right? Usually they will email you a proxy ballot that you vote on. I don't know if it's a proxy ballot or a regular ballot. But do you see that the party taking that route or an alternative route that excludes proxyism altogether? Well, and do you think that's likely in the online solution?
I think it'll have to be some kind of online solution, not just, you know, telling someone how you want to vote. I mean, just from a logistical standpoint, getting hundreds of people to, you know, message one or two people be a lot easier if you just had an online IT solution. That's not really my background, so I don't really know what the best method would be. But you bring up another interesting point about the convention. It's not just to pick our nominees. It's also if we have any platform changes. So you mentioned the pro-life, pro-choice part of our platform. And it seems like every 2 years there are some minor changes that people propose to the party platform, and we have to vote on those too. So that's another thing we're going to have to try to figure out how we're going to do.
Right. Because usually what happens, because I went to the convention back in 2018, and usually based on my personal experience just being there, unfortunately, we weren't covered then, like we normally would by C-SPAN. But people will go up there and be like, okay, I propose A, B, C, X, Y, Z. And then usually the rules will be like, oh, well, you know, we can't do this or can't do that. Would you like to vote on a suspension of the rules? And everybody usually says yes, in which case, where's the sense in having these rules if we're always going to keep suspending the rules, but nonetheless it gets through, and then party B votes this and does that and blah blah blah, and everybody takes up the mic from everybody else, and you know, so there's, and everybody's proposing every little thing, and a lot of them get rejected. Mm-hmm. Some of them, yeah, do make it onto
actually,
the
platform.
Actually,
that's kind of one of the things that initially drew me to the Libertarian Party a decade or two ago, was that their platform, it does obviously change a little bit over time, but it really hasn't changed in real substance since its original founding. It still has the exact same positions on the exact same issues. Really what I see, the only changes that I see over time are kind of clarifications. Like, in 2018, we added the plank about sex work, which, really just, made it clearer that that is part mm-hmm. of our, platform. Whereas before, we just kind of had a generic, you know, all consenting adults should be able to have whatever relationships they want. So, but.
Right. But you bring up a very good point, too, and that is the sex work thing. And I support it because the sex work is sex work. It's prostitution. And it's like, What's the difference between that and having these free sex parties where you're just having all these different sex parties, and then a lot of the people, if they're careless about it, might or may end up with all these sexually transmitted diseases that a lot of people are afraid of with regards to prostitution and sex work. And how do we get people to vote for the Libertarian Party going forward and convincing them that this is not as big as
So, are
it
you
may
talking about the people that
appear?
may be wary of our stance on sex work? Okay. Well, I think
Yeah.
probably the
Yes.
biggest thing that we can do is just present our case, not as people that would want or benefit from this platform, but people that just believe it is the right thing to do. Like, as yourself, I'm not someone that would partake in that kind of industry. I've been happily married for 16 years, but I still believe that it is very important for those people that choose to be in that kind of situation. And I think we have to make it clear that we support consenting sex work and not allow people to try to conflate, human trafficking with actual consenting sex work. Obviously, any kind of forced labor, forced sex is obviously against everything that we stand for. But I believe that's one of the things that a lot of people throw around when they try to go after legitimate sex work. They try to put human trafficking in there to try to gain the moral high ground.
Right. Well, I mean, a lot of people also do that with regards to the war on drugs. They'll sit there and say, well, what about the fentanyl? And if you put the fentanyl in this drug and that drug and now blah, blah, blah. And if you legalize drug ABC, this will happen and that'll happen. And so I believe we've also tried to present the case too that, that we object to the drug war. Because, the drug war in itself puts a lot of innocent people or otherwise innocent people in the prison systems and doesn't do anything about correcting the issues that may be. And so, do you think, presenting the case for any of these type of issues, whether it's immigration, civil liberties, I mean, the issue of abortion is kind of a sensitive one. I get it. But, on any of these type of issues, you bring up also bring up a good point that I think we have to present the case that we may not get everybody on board, but perhaps we'll get a few here and there. So that brings me to my next question, and that is, do you foresee in the future massive growth in the Libertarian Party, either within our lifetime or not? Where we can start getting people elected in the House and the Senate and the presidency, maybe the Supreme Court once we get our president, or even on the local, state, and county levels. And do you see that as a real possibility going forward if we continue what we're doing? Or do you think we could use any more
Okay,
additional
well, I think we kind
strategies?
of
Or
have
what's
seen
your
at
take
least the
on all that?
beginning of a large expansion of the party. Just maybe like 10, 15 years ago, we were around 200,000. Now, the latest figures I saw a month ago were we have about 600,000 registered libertarians in the US. And that's just in the 33 states that actually have registration by party. A lot of states just you register, no party. So we have seen a big increase. I think the rise of social media has definitely helped us because we're able to reach people whereas before with traditional media we were kind of shut out. The future of the party, I do think that we'll still continue to grow. Electing multiple people to the House and Senate, I'm not sure if that's in the near term, but when it comes to state representatives, we had one person. I forget her name right now, but she actually challenged the majority leader of the Wyoming House of Representatives, I believe, and came within just a few hundred votes of unseating him. So that was one race that was it took a couple of days to actually figure out who won. So I do think that we'll actually start to see more state representatives. I mean, we've had state representatives elected in New Hampshire in the past, in Alaska in the past. I think we'll start to see more of that. And when we start getting that kind of base of state level people, I think we'll get more attention from the media because I mean, that's really what we need is just people learning about what we actually stand for. And for a lot of people, the only way that they can really get that is through traditional media.
Right. And I know the media pretty well. I've been boycotting a lot of them since 2008 because, they often, and this is true, they often use what's called the wasted vote argument, where if you vote for the Libertarian Party or any other political third party, you'll decipher the votes from the Republicans and then the Democrats will win. Or vice versa, because the Democrats are also going to say that to their people, just as the Republicans say that to their audience, right? And a lot of it is then enhanced by the media proclaiming the same message, right? So how do we get around that and so to speak, and be able to present the message that, hey, this ain't true, this is a lie, and here's the real facts and blah blah blah. How do we go around that in the media? Should we call these people out? Have we already done that? What's your, I mean, because it just seems like, they just for over 200 years, the Democrats and the Republican Party have been in charge. Actually, they've been in charge since the beginning of the Civil War, just about 1860, 61. So for within that time span, within the 200 years they've been in charge, they haven't really done much for us. And so you think it's possible we could present that case to the people who are weary and maybe say, look, the media is lying to you and they got their information.
Well, I think we can kind of go about that
How do we do
a
that?
couple different ways. One of them is through election reform. So up in Maine, they actually have ranked choice voting. And I believe this will be the first year that they'll actually use it for the presidency as well. So the whole wasted vote argument kind of goes out the window then, because then you can say, okay, my first choice would be a libertarian, and my second choice would be the Democrat or the Republican. So, just in case the libertarian doesn't win, your vote would still go to one of the other two candidates. So the whole wasted vote argument really doesn't hold water in that kind of system. And actually using the Electoral College to our advantage. So here in New York State, it's a blue state. I could have everyone that I've ever met vote Republican, and New York State would still be a Democratic state. So your vote in a state like this, or a state that's solidly red, like Alabama, is going to be a Republican state. Your vote actually really doesn't matter if you're voting for one of the two major parties because, it's already decided. You can make the argument that,
Well, that may
Texas will
include
definitely be a
states like
Republican state.
Texas, right?
So you can make the argument of voting as speech. So your vote is probably the single biggest, best way for you to express your feelings about how the country is being run. So in those solid red and blue states, you're not going to change the outcome of your state. And every state awards their delegates. Well, I shouldn't say every, 48 of the states awards their delegates. Sorry, take it out. Awards their delegates as, majority. So by actually voting Libertarian, you can send a message that you're not happy or that you want better Democrats or Republicans. So if you're a Democrat and you really hate how they've gone to Biden, who's been a huge drug warrior, you know, a vote for a Libertarian will get the Democrats' attention. Like, maybe they should actually take their drug war stance and actually be better Democrats. Or if you're a Republican and you hate how the Republicans routinely just sell out the Second Amendment, you know, a vote for a Libertarian actually make them pay more attention to the Second Amendment and actually stand up for what they say they believe in.
Right. All right. So, yeah, I don't know if I had it set to private chat or not, but anyways, I think these were all good talking points, you know, when we, and I probably should do more live streams like this in the future when inviting someone on and, like, especially someone like you or Larry Sharp or Alex Merced, and try to get their take on this sort of stuff, because I think that way they get some exposure. Mm-hmm. That helps my channel, helps them, and mm-hmm. it helps also helps provide a voice.
Getting,
you know,
experience,
what I mean?
Talking about issues, really, so that if, you know, I ever do get back on the news or anything like that, I have a little bit more experience. Same with you.
Right. Well, I gotta check and see if it was even on, if our conversation was recorded live. So, anyways, so I probably would have to check on that. But if it was, I think this would be tremendous.
Yeah. I mean, any kind of exposure, whether it be, you know, on YouTube, on Facebook, anything really to spread the message.
All right. So, do you have any last things you want to add before we close?
I think you've kind of hit on a lot of the major points that have been going through my head in the past couple of days.
All right. Well, thanks, Brandon. Thanks
for
coming on. I truly appreciate it. You're welcome, Brandon, anytime. All right. So now I want to make sure that I have this on. So without further ado, let me check the channel and see where we've gone with that. So we're still live. And, oh, it says add the scene here. Oh, wait, I had it right here, huh? All right. So now you're live.
I think it was live.
I think we had it right, right?
I don't know. Sorry.
Oh. All right. Well, maybe if I click send the... Wait, can you say ABC? Let me see if I can hear the voice on... Let me see if it shows up on this volume. I don't know. All right. Well, it seems like you're on. So, let me just click here and, yeah, I mean, all right. Well, thanks,
right,
Brandon,
for
being on. I appreciate it. All right. You got it. All right. So, for those that are wondering, let me present the video of Larry Sharp, if I may, so I can show you just what we were talking about in the beginning, if I can, because wow. So this is Larry Sharp right here, and I think he was in one of his videos, he was live about how he's running for VP. So this is his one of his videos. I think it was on the sh his other YouTube channel, The Sharp Way. And on that video, there it is, Sharp. Ask me anything. And I think it was in one of those. So you can always see that video anytime.